The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. What happens after the game wraps up, either when the day is done or the professional career is done? We'll take a look at what your favorite athletes are doing when they aren't in the game. Now, here is your host, Lamar Campbell.
Welcome to Life After the Game, live on Radio Row, Super Bowl 46 in beautiful downtown Indiana, Indianapolis. Murph, tell me something good. You need to be here, buddy. We got Madonna on deck walking through. What's going on?
Ain't much. I'm sitting here in beautiful, sunny Buckhead, Georgia. You know it's pretty out here, and I know you're having a great time. We have a very interesting show, a lot of interviews, and I know you've been working hard down there this week, Lamar.
Yeah, definitely. Got a great table on Radio Row here at Club. Look, got my homegirl, Kelly L. Carter, down here for ESPN Entertainment Reporter, having a great week. A good buddy of mine, Andy McCullough, former Tennessee Volunteer, former NFL player. Good buddy of mine just hanging out. There's been a lot of celebrities going on, hanging out down here today. Had a chance to catch up with Coach Herman Edwards. Had a chance to catch up with Warren Sapp. It's been an all-around great week, but I will tell you who I did get a chance to catch up with. Maybe the most important man in the city, the mayor of Indianapolis. Let's go ahead and see what he had to say about having a Super Bowl here in Indiana.
I have the pleasure to be sitting here with the mayor of the fine city and fine host of Super Bowl 46, Mayor Greg Ballard. Mayor, thank you so much for hosting the Super Bowl. It's been a great event. I've heard nothing but good things since I have touched down, and I agree. How proud are you of Indianapolis for hosting the Super Bowl and doing such a great job that you're doing right now?
Very proud, actually. A lot of people have put a lot of work into this. The committee's been working on this for 4 years. It's amazing the depth and the breadth of the detail that they put into this. And then the volunteer base comes along. We have 8,000 volunteers working. We had 13,000 actually come forward, but we're working 8,000 volunteers. And people can see it. That's why you're being treated so well. The volunteer base is very, very strong and starts from the airport, and the whole experience continues.
Now, we're sitting here on Radio Row in the JW Marriott here in Indianapolis. How does it feel to have currently the world's largest JW Marriott in your fine city?
Well, it was part of getting the Super Bowl, to be honest with you. We needed a hotel this size. We had a lot of big hotels, but this one is larger and increases the capacity. It's connected to Lucas Oil Stadium and the convention center through tunneling systems. So, you know, those three buildings by themselves might have some impact, but they're all connected up and they help the convention business and they help these big sporting events at the same time. That's what makes it really special. So when we put a lot of money into our hospitality industry because we have a lot of conventions and a lot of big sporting events. So this JW is pretty nice though, isn't it? It's big, it's bold, it's beautiful.
It is awesome event. Now, you guys hosted the inaugural Big Ten Championship game, which my Wisconsin Badgers had a chance to go and get revenge on Michigan State for that last-second Hail Mary. That turns out a national championship contention. How was it bringing the Big Ten Championship game here, and why was it important for your city to have that?
Yeah, I talk about that quite a bit, to be honest with you, because the Big Ten did not bid out that first game. They went to us, they came to the city and said, will you do the first game? Because they know we're turnkey. Mm-hmm. We can make it happen. And we did. We had a few months of preparation on that. And people have faith that we can put on a big sporting event in a short amount of time. The good thing about that is then we bid. The Big Ten went to bid for years 2 through 5, and we won all 4 years of that. So we'll have the first 5 years of the Big Ten championship game right here in Indianapolis. But the first year was special because they came to us and they said, we know you can do it. Can you do it? And then we'll bid out the rest. I thought that was a pretty special moment.
Now, a little history moment for my listeners. Everyone knows I'm originally from Philadelphia, and everyone thinks the original Love statue was originated in Philadelphia. Actually, it's originated here in Indiana. How does it feel to have that statue here in the museum?
It is kind of neat. That is really true, and by a guy named Robert Indiana. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to have the statue here. It's you know, city of brotherly love, but that's okay. it's fun to have it here. You know, we got a good cultural and arts community here in the city, also along with a great sporting culture.
Now, what else do you have planned for the city of Indiana? You guys have done so much. This is just a town that is built for sports, built for holding events. What's next? What's next up for big for in Indiana?
Well, you know, we have the 500 every year, biggest one-day sporting event in the world, which is great. And then we have a Final Fours coming back up, rounding out again with the men's Final Four, then a women's Final Four once again. And we love the Final Fours and the Big Ten Football Championship. It's going to be, Franklin's going to, it's a big event. And we used a little bit of Georgia Street, which is the Super Bowl Village. For that, I think next year it'll be even bigger. They'll use the village even more. So those are the things that are really coming. We got more big conventions coming in, too, but there's so many things that are out there that we really want to get into the city.
That was Mayor Ballard here in Indiana. I mean, I had a great time with Mayor Ballard. Smurf, let me tell you, Indiana is showing us a great time here for the Super Bowl.
Right, and I can tell you all are having fun. And one thing that I noticed the mayor touched on, they're known for hosting a lot of sport events. Like you said, they host the NCAA Men's Final Four. It was an honor for the host the first inaugural Big Ten Championship game with your Wisconsin Badgers done, and now the Super Bowl. It's a great look for the city of Indianapolis. It's really showing that they're a great host city, and it's letting people know it's an attraction to Indy 500. Indianapolis is a great city.
Yeah, it's definitely going on. So let's go ahead and talk about why we're really here this week, man. The Super Bowl, the Giants and the Patriots. And the feeling down here is that everyone's been really thinking that the Giants are going to pull this one out. Haven't saw too many Patriots fans here. Nobody thinks the Patriots have a chance of getting it done on Sunday.
I know, and that's really crazy. I mean, we're acting like they don't have the Golden Boy and one of the best coaches right now. They say he won the Super Bowl. He's going to be labeled as one of the greatest coaches of all time in Bill Belichick. And keep in mind, people are really forgetting the Patriots have won 10 straight games, and that means they haven't lost a game in 2.5 months, Lamar.
Yeah, people fail to realize that. You know, I mean, I definitely that, you know, the Patriots are definitely coming to play. You know, we can talk about numbers, we can talk about stats, but at the end of the day, it's all about wins and losses and who gets in the end zone more than the other team. And I think when you have Bill Belichick, what people don't know, Bill Belichick has rented out the entire campus of IUP, IU here, and he basically made it just like campus. Blocked off a couple of streets as well too. So I mean, they definitely are here focused. They definitely want to win that Super Bowl. They're definitely destined to be a dynasty. And I think, you know, they're preparing themselves that way this week.
You're right, and they're used to it. Been there and done that. You're talking about a man who's going for his fourth Super Bowl. He's a lot more relaxed this week, and his players are noticing that. You know, just like Tom Coughlin for the New York Giants, these are two coaches that have been there. Bill Belichick, like you said, he's relaxed. Tom Coughlin, they're laughing and joking with the media, and usually they're pretty shy guys, and they don't really have much to say to the media.
I know, not too much at all. I mean, you know, they've been tight-lipped. Looks like Rob Gronkowski has actually been practicing this week, and that's actually going to be a big weekend for tight ends, and I had a chance to catch up with former Wisconsin tight end Travis Beckham. This is what he had to say.
It's funny, I don't know if it necessarily hit me yet, I'm excited. We've been in this position before when I wasn't here, but obviously we're going to look to have the same outcome as we did last time.
Right.
Now, this is the year to tie in. Are you looking forward to a big game this Sunday?
I am. I'm looking for a very big game. You kind of dream about stuff like this, and hopefully I continue to live my dream and play well on Sunday.
And can I get a U-Rah on Wisconsin?
U-Rah, Wisconsin.
Yeah, I did that, Smurf. I did that.
You had to have that. You just had to catch up with the Badgers and get an interview from one of your Badgers and have them sing the school fight song.
I had to do it, man. It's just a great setup here down on Radio Row. Actually, NFL Network is here set up. Maybe you have Sterling Sharp on right now. I'm talking about the matchup between Tom Brady and Eli Manning. I mean, that's really been the talk of the town, Eli versus Tom Brady. But unfortunately, Peyton, everyone's walking around here with Peyton jerseys on. There's a lot of support for Peyton Manning here as well.
Yeah, just give me, I was wondering, could you kind of give me the pulse of the city? I see they were debating saying that Peyton Manning is trying to steal the show on Super Bowl, or during the Super Bowl week, because that is his city. He is the talk of the town. It's very ironic that Peyton Manning would hold his first interview on Media Day for both of the teams. And it seemed like his interview overshadowed the Media Day for both teams.
You know, that's one thing Peyton has mentioned since we've been here. You know, Peyton has said in a couple of interviews, interview that he's done actually this week, that he doesn't want to take anything away from his brother Eli. This is his brother's week. Unfortunately, you know, it's in his city. The game is being played in the stadium that Peyton built. So he had to at least say something, you know, and get online and say, you know, something about the Super Bowl this week. But all according to Peyton this week, you know, he supports his brother. It's about his brother week. And that speaks to the pedigree, not only of Peyton Manning, but of Archie Manning, maybe the greatest Manning out of all of them, because he's keeping all of those, his brother, his boys together. And it's a unified fight for Peyton and Eli here in Indy.
You're right. I mean, Archie Manning, the Manning family, I mean, you're talking about great guys. You know, it's funny how Eli has turned around his reputation, because you notice when he first entered the NFL, everybody was on his back. You know, he refused to play for the San Diego Chargers, which we look like now. Everybody was blaming Archie Manning, which was a great move because he's right in New York now, and he's had a chance to play with
Super Bowl. You can never blame a father for looking out for his son. And that's all Archie Manning was doing. You know, he's always going to be his boy. He felt like San Diego was not going to be the best fit for Eli Manning. And he did what he felt like he had to do. He had the pedigree to do that and be successful at it. And look how it's worked out for Eli so far.
You're right about that. He has a chance to play for his second Super Bowl. He's having a chance to play for his second Super Bowl. So I guess Archie Manning did have a great feel for the New York Giants and where his son Eli could potentially become.
Yeah, he definitely did. I mean, you look at what he's done there in New York, and as we mentioned on the show a couple weeks ago, hey, Eli could actually set himself to win another Super Bowl championship. All this talk about in the young receiving core. You have young receivers, have a young defensive line. If you can keep those guys under contract over the next 5 or 6 years, not only can Eli Manning possibly win a Super Bowl ring this week, but he may be back in a couple of years as well.
You're right about that. And that's who's to say if Eli wins 3 championships, will he really be able to get out of Peyton Manning's shadow? Which I really don't think about him being a younger brother. But it's going to be interesting. If Peyton Manning gets healthy or he's not healthy and won't be able to play again and only walks away with the game with one Super Bowl, what if his little brother Eli wins 3? Then I will wonder who would be the bigger brother then.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at it. I know Eli always came in kind of quiet. Eli always just quietly went about his business while Peyton put up. And let's be honest here. Peyton put up great numbers, remarkable numbers. We're definitely going out as one of the best quarterbacks ever to play the game. But you have to appreciate the way Eli has improved year after year after year. And now not only has he won one Super Bowl, but he has potentially to beat Tom Brady, the golden boy, who's on his way to look for a dynasty as far as Super Bowl winners. He may have a chance to beat him this weekend and actually tie him in Super Bowl championships before his career is over.
You're right, and I mean, Eli Manning's on the road. If you're talking about, if you ask me to take one quarterback who's on the road, and a lot of people may think I'm crazy, if you ask me to take one quarterback on Sunday, I'm taking Eli Manning. Right now, I mean, Eli Manning is on fire. Not to take nothing away from Tom Brady, because Tom Brady, yes, he is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But if you're talking about a quarterback who last week said he wanted to call in his quarterback coach for to fix his mechanics. So if you want me to take one quarterback on Sunday, I'm going to take Eli Manning. Eli Manning has been on fire.
He's been on fire, Smurf. I mean, you look at it, he has more fourth quarter touchdowns than any quarterback so far that this NFL season. He went up to Green Bay and took out the unstoppable Green, well, quote unquote unstoppable Green Bay Packers. Went out to San Fran, a West Coast trip for an East Coast team, beat the guys out in San Fran. I would not bet against Eli right now. And that's kind of the feeling that you get here right now in Indianapolis, that everyone thinks that the Giants are going to pull it off again.
You're right, and I think the Giants will pull it off again. But like I said, we're not going to underestimate Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. They are favorite. Like a lot of people say, we don't know what's going on in Vegas. Them guys are all the way on the West Coast. They're pretty much
right
3 hours behind us. So we're East Coast. We're on the East Coast side. So maybe they're late in getting on the Eli Manning bandwagon.
Right. I mean, no way you can bet against Eli right now. He's playing great, saying all the right things this week. I'm pretty sure he's having a great week of practice. I mean, I think Eli knows what's at stake for him as well here. Not only did he beat Tom Brady in 2007 with that remarkable catch by David Tyree, but this is a second chance. You know, if you think Tom Brady doesn't have revenge on his mind either, you better go somewhere else. I'm sure you, Tom Brady and those guys are destined not to let the New York Giants pass rush get to Tom Brady. And I guarantee you, that they're going to have a quick setup passing game to make sure that they get the ball out of Tom Brady's hands so that Giants defensive line cannot take advantage of him. We're getting ready to go to break, but when we come back, we're going to have my buddy Artrell Hawkins, FoxSportsNews.net, come and join us, talk about his life after the game and talk some more about the Patriots. Stay tuned, Life After the Game.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports. Play ball. If you're looking to talk baseball, even in the off season, look no further than the King's Corner, talking baseball with former World Series champion Jim Leyritz. Jim's known for a rather controversial stance during his show. He's brutally honest and ready to talk with current and former players, owners, and other key figures to bring you baseball from an insider's view. You won't want to miss a single episode. The King's Corner, Talking Baseball with Jim Leyritz is heard every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with K. Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to Lamar at lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Life After the Game, live from Radio Row, hanging out here on Radio Row with all my people. Now, we got Warren Sapp here. We have Mike the Playmaker Irvin hanging out this morning. Smurf, Mike Irvin, crazy, man. Mike Irvin is crazy.
They said, can you imagine?
Playmaker on the chain. Hey, this the kicker, though. Guess who came and gave me dap this morning? Nate Newton.
Wow. I remember back in the days when you played in Detroit, when you had Charles Haley as one of y'all defensive coaches. I mean, Charles Haley was just telling me some of the stories about the great old times that they had when they was out there in Dallas. He said, can you imagine playing on the team with Michael Irvin and Deion Sanders? Wow, some of them stories we are saved for off the air.
Have mercy on our soul, man. All we needed was Zulu down here, a.k.a. Charles Haley. And I got nothing but love for Charles Haley. Four Super Bowl rings, people. Let's not forget. Charles Haley, four Super Bowl rings. Should be heading to the Hall of Fame soon. Hopefully my man can get that out. Well, of course, it's Life After the Game. So we had to definitely talk to some of the players about their transition here. This is what my good buddy Artrell Hawkins from Fox Radio had to say about it.
Life After the Game, I'm here with my man Artrell Hawkins, going back to Big 33, 1944. Two of the boys from Pennsylvania who the state let go. Had a great 10-year career, man. What's going on with you these days?
Man, I'm out here like you, man, hustling to beat the band, doing the broadcast thing. I don't know, we didn't play 1944, though. I know what you meant, 1994.
Right.
but yeah, like, you know what I'm saying, the state let us go. And it's funny you say that because I was having a conversation with one of my cats from Pennsylvania. And he was talking about Penn State's legacy. And while they've gotten some good players out of Penn State, particularly in our era, like LeVar Arrington, Brandon Short, them kind of cats, I always argue, and Joe Paterno, God rest his soul, but
right,
he let a lot of NFL cats get up out of the state.
Yeah, he did.
And everyone's saying, like, he got dominance in Pennsylvania and can recruit talent. I argue that because there's three cats just from my hometown. Like, my brother's in the league, I was in the league, and another cat's in the league named LeVar Stevens Howling, plays for Arizona, pretty good little player, but none of us got recruited by Penn State, just like you didn't.
Right. We had a great chance to be at Big 33. There was a lot of PA guys. We saw Penn State, me, you, Ike Jones, a couple other guys, he let get out of state. All of them went on a great NFL career, but we really want to talk about what you're doing right now in Cincinnati and how you made that transition from football to the broadcasting world that you're in right now.
Ironically enough, I never wanted to be a broadcaster. I always saw myself as maybe a businessman, health administrator. You know, but the funny thing about that is, you know, my life after the game, after you get finished with football, you realize that you're really only credentialed to do one thing, and it has to be football related because, you know, like I do, college, it's not a typical academic or educational experience. we're heavily weighted toward football and our regimen, and class is secondary. Not only that, you know, education for me isn't just books and learning. It's not just reading and arithmetic. It has to have some life experience. You know, we didn't do or couldn't do any type of internships or have any real life experience. So really, you don't really know what you want to do except play football. So, you know, the transition out for me was a little bit rocky because I didn't really know what I wanted to do. Didn't have a skill set. All I could do was play cover 2, 1, 3, 5, 7, 8, 0. But, you know, that doesn't transition into the real world. But one thing I'm realizing now, and it's taken me about a year and a half, 2 years to realize that football is a business. And if the art industry can be considered a thriving, you know, a major in college or an industry, I think football, there's a business to football. And whether it's scouting, coaching, playing, you know, whether it's broadcasting, you name it, you can do it in football. And, you know, I'm kind of guaranteed pushing my son towards that way. Like, if you want to coach and play, that's fine. You got to get your grades.
Right.
But if you want to coach and play, this is a lot more viable than just being on the playing field.
Right.
Now, you're a former New England Patriot. Your boys are here for the Super Bowl. I'd be remiss not to ask you, who do you have this Sunday? Give me a score on it.
You know, I'm not 100% just yet. But if I had to be completely honest, you know, it's going to be hard, I feel, for the Patriots to match the physicality of the New York Giants. You know, if you look at the Patriots and how they played the Giants in the 2007 Super Bowl. It was a tight game. Tom Brady ends up, you know, driving down the field, hits Randy Moss, about 240, 245 left in the game. And then Eli, you know, puts on that magnificent drive at the end. But how did they lose the game? They lost it with Plexico Burress scoring a touchdown. And you look at last week's game, same thing basically, except, you know, Sterling Moore is able to get the ball out, but the receiver is still behind the DBs. If you look at the rosters for the Giants and the Patriots, where the Patriots don't spend money is in their secondary, and that's kind of always been their formula, kind of a bend, don't break, you know, don't give up the big play. But I just don't feel like, you know, they don't pay their players enough. They don't recruit that area. It's not really an area of need for the Patriots, and I think it's going to end up coming back to burn them because you have Eli Manning and you have a marvelous host of receivers, Mario Manningham, Akeem Nicks, Victor Cruz, and you know, for me, Eli Manning is playing great football. So I really feel like they're going to get out physical, number one, because the Giants can run the football, and they will. And number two, I just don't think this secondary is going to be able to hold up against the dynamic playmaking ability of these receivers.
That's awesome.
And if you're just joining us, let's keep the conversation going on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at LifeAfterTGame or give us a call 1-888-346-9144. So there you go again, Smurf, another one of my boys down here picking them Giants to take that Super Bowl championship back to the NYC.
Everybody's picking the Giants, but you know, the last Patriots loss was November the 6th. They did lose to the Giants 24-20. I'm going to just throw something out there. That game early up in Foxborough, which the Giants did defeat them, the score was tied at 0 at the half. The Patriots and the Giants scored 24 points after the half. Tom Brady caught fire in the fourth quarter now. The Patriots scored 17 points. Just a few stats to throw out there from this game. Tom Brady went 28 for 49, 342 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. Eli Manning, 20 for 39 for 250 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. The key person to that game is that we're not really talking about. We're all talking about Rob Gronkowski, but it was Wes Welker who had 9 catches on the Giants for 136 yards, no touchdowns, but Gronkowski also hurt him for 8 catches and 101 yards and 1 touchdown, Lamar.
I mean, nobody says it's not going to be a shot. It's definitely going to be a shootout. I mean, you know Tom Brady's going to come to play, especially with the game that he had against the Baltimore Ravens the last time he stepped out there. You have a New England Patriots team that's actually playing not only just for themselves, but for the memory of Myra Kraft. And let me tell you, as a former football player, when you're a family, when you have an owner like Robert Kraft, it's an emotional connection that you have with them, and you're definitely playing for more than just that championship trophy. You're putting your emotion into it as well. So I know the Patriots are going to come out and give the Giants their best shot, but I tell you this, the New York Giants defensive line are healthy, they're fresh, and Tom Brady, best believe, needs to get that ball out of his hand ASAP to be successful on Sunday.
And two things, the two players that the Giants didn't have in that win up in New England was Hakeem Nicks, who's a key receiver.
Right.
He's the second receiver, and Amar Bradshaw, the running back, who's a little nicked up now, but I'm quite sure he'll play on Sunday.
Right. And, you know, those guys are coming to play. My Bradshaw was rushing his foot yesterday because of the stress fracture that he suffered earlier in the season. But this is going to be a great Super Bowl. I truly believe it's going to be a shootout. And I never thought I'd say that before. Eli Manning in a shootout with Tom Brady for the Super Bowl. I never thought I'd say that, but I just said it, and I truly believe it.
One interesting fact, this is what I want to know. During that last matchup, the guy who usually causes all the controversy and usually have the media in his face, Chad Ochocinco, had no catches during that last matchup, and he was thrown to 5 times. What do you think Chad Ochocinco is going to do Sunday? A lot of people are sleeping on this guy, but don't be surprised if Chad Ochocinco finds a way to get himself motivated for this one last time, because I tell you this, Lamar, if Chad Ochocinco don't do nothing in this Super Bowl, he might as well pack up the house in New England and he can find him another team this year, coming this summer.
I totally agree. You know, Chad's been pretty tight-lipped here. You know, usually he's running the Ochocinco News Network. Actually, this year he's playing in the Super Bowl, so he ain't had to. He has Maurice Jones-Drew down doing some correspondence for him. He has a couple other guys doing some correspondence for him. But I think Sunday, and I would not be surprised if Chad Ochocinco's coming out party was Sunday.
You're right about that. I mean, Chad Ochocinco, he was a key phrase, and we thought he was going to be Tom Brady's go-to guy. For some reason, they just couldn't seem to get it clicking. A lot of people say he couldn't learn the playbook, but hey, like we all said, Lamar, it's just football. And what happened when he got to New England, it was a humbling experience for him. And like I said, if you're going to bring Chad Ochocinco in, let Chad Ochocinco be Ochocinco. If not, you're getting another guy, right, and you want the Chad Ochocinco of Cincinnati.
And this is what you got to think about. Chad Ochocinco signed a one-year contract with the New England Patriots. Nothing saying that Chad Ochocinco can't get a Super Bowl ring with the New England Patriots this year and leave and go somewhere else and go back to being the Chad Ochocinco of old that we all knew and loved.
You're right. And if Chad Ochocinco can, like you said, if he can have a big game and be the Chad Ochocinco, be the old Chad Ochocinco, I got one question. Do you think if Chad Ochocinco getting the end zone this for the Super Bowl, maybe his last appearance, can we get a celebration for Chad Ochocinco on Sunday?
I do believe Ochocinco. If Chad Ochocinco gets in the Super Bowl, gets a touchdown in the Super Bowl, I think Chad Ochocinco will give us a celebration we've been waiting for all year long. I got to go 75% Chad Ochocinco gives us a celebration.
Why not? Why not? He haven't done anything all year. This may possibly be his last chance to get in the Super Bowl. Chad Ochocinco, if you're out there listening, give us a celebration and give us your best celebration. Because believe me, if Chad Ochocinco gets in the end zone to celebrate, the endorsements will come flying through the roof over the summer.
Man, that's crazy. I mean, Chad Ochocinco's been really tight-lipped this week. He's really played down the media. I mean, the kid has his own news network. Why does he have to be on the network? He can go to his own network and give his own tweets and give his own interviews if he really wanted to.
And Chad Ochocinco, I seen him do a media day. Chad Ochocinco did say, hey, why not? I'm happy to be here. This is a chance in a lifetime, and I'm going to make the best opportunity of it. So, hey, I'm standing for Chad Ochocinco to come out there and really ball out. I don't think the Patriots will win, but, hey, I'm not going to underestimate Chad Ochocinco. Why not? This is the only chance for the Super Bowl. Why not?
Why not? I got some great news for you, man. I know you're a big Washington Redskins head, sitting right here with my man, LeVar Arrington, doing a show right behind me. Those boys back there going crazy, having a great time, talking a lot about the Super Bowl, Washington, D.C. sports, man. It's been a great week down here at the Super Bowl.
Well, I know it has, and I know you've got in contact with some great people. As if you just joined us, we had the mayor of Indianapolis on. We just had a great, I know you had a great time down there in Indianapolis, and then hopefully the game will be just as good.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, had a chance to hang out with Philly native Vince Papale today, man. It's been just an awesome, awesome weekend all the time. We're getting ready to go to our break, but come back. We're going to take some questions and some tweets. Follow us at Life After T Game on Twitter. Give us a call, 1-888-346-9144. Stay tuned. More Life After the Game live from Radio Row.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fan's perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network, and let's talk football.
Sports continues to grow and evolve to ever-increasing prominence in today's society. On All Around Sports, host John Inglesby will connect with the leading newsmakers from the sports world, including players, owners, and fellow sports journalists, discussing the top news and events that are relevant to sports today. John will also report from and offer his experience of the world's top sports events. Tune in to All Around Sports with John Inglesby, Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
What does building a family mean to you? Nobody has experienced the pain and joy of family life in a way that Freddie Scott has. And his experiences in life, in sports, and business can help you create a successful family future. We'll cover many aspects of family building and management with a focus on fatherhood. Men and women want their families to succeed during these tough times. Our show will give you hope for the future and practical tools for a successful family. Tune in to the Freddie Scott Show, Tackling the Game of Life, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to lamar@lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Life After the Game, live from Radio Row. We're going to take some email questions right about now. Coming in, got a quick question. Who's the most famous person I've met here so far this week? You know, that's a tough question to answer, you know, but I'm going to say, as far as a football player, had a chance to hang out with Deacon Jones this morning, Smurf. One of the masters of defense, one of the pioneers of the defensive end position.
You're right about that. And I mean, you're talking about, they don't even make guys like that in the NFL no more.
No, sir.
You know, Deacon Jones was as rough as they come. You know, with the new rules and things like that, Deacon Jones wouldn't even last a day in the league with these players right now today.
I tell you what, man, Deacon had a really good talk about injuries, man. And he talked about a lot of injuries that he played with, the guys that he played with, and the medical advancements that they have now that they didn't have back when he was playing. Deacon said if he had those type of medical advancements, he could have played another 5 or 6 years.
You're right, and I mean, Deacon Jones and them guys was out there playing. I mean, you're talking about guys who was out there playing with broken legs, broken arms, all types of things. If you've been following us, we had a great Hall of Fame on the show. These guys was out there playing with broken legs. I mean, how many guys do you know that play in a Super Bowl with a broken leg? We're questioning whether Gronkowski's going to play with a high ankle sprain. And you're talking about guys who went out there all out for the team with a broken leg.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny you mentioned that. You know, Deacon Jones was a teammate of one of our former guests, Jack Youngblood, and another NFL Hall of Famer. So we talked a little bit about Jack Youngblood and how Jack played with a broken leg. Deacon said he may have gave him a couple concussions back in his day. But one of the things we talked about, speaking of great defensive ends, of course, Reggie White passed away from sleep. And I had a chance to sit down with Andrew Taylor, CBS Sports college analyst, to talk about his transition to life after the game and what he's working on right now. Let's hear what Aaron had to say.
Here live with Aaron Taylor here on Radio Row in beautiful downtown Indianapolis, Indiana, host of Super Bowl 46. Aaron, how's Indianapolis treating you so far?
Well, it's been pretty nice. It's a little colder than it is out on the West Coast. I was in Tucson yesterday for signing day at the University of Arizona for the college kids, but it's nice to be here. I have some family here, and anytime you know Lamar that you're down at the Super Bowl, you always catch up with some old friends and have some fun.
Yeah, it's always a great time, and we've been having a great time here on Radio Row. It's always like a reunion at the Super Bowl. If you do a sporting event, this is always the one that you want to do, especially being a football player. Have you run into any of your Notre Dame teammates yet?
Yeah, you know what? Not a Notre Dame, but a high school teammate, Amani Toomer. I just bumped into him. I actually bumped into him in Sri Lanka, of all places, right after the tsunami. So Amani and I go way back. I tried to get him to go to Notre Dame, but he said they ran the football too much and then went to Michigan. I still never understood that because of the way they ran the ball back then. But already I've been here 10 minutes and bumped into a lot of people I haven't seen in a lot of years.
Yeah, that's great. Now, you're definitely doing some great things on CBS Sports College, and as you say, you just came back from National Signing Day. Tell us how the transition was for you from leaving football to where you are now as a CBS Sports analyst.
Well, you know how it is, man. I mean, I was 28, single, retired, no debt, financially independent. I was the American dream. I had everything that my neighbors wanted, everything that I had ever wanted on paper. But the reality was I had not taken the time to be able to put the effort I needed to be able to make that transition, and I struggled like a lot of us do. You know the statistics, man. Within 12 months of retirement, 3 out of 4 guys are bankrupt, chemically dependent, or divorced within 1 year of retirement. That's astounding. Well, I was one of those guys. I got caught up with drinking, and I've been sober about 8 years. It took me a while to get things turned around, but as soon as I used the same skills that allowed me to be successful on the football field out in the real world, I had the same results.
Now, you're definitely here on a bigger level as well. Not only is it a Super Bowl, but you're here promoting sleep apnea as well, a condition that your former teammate Reggie White at Green Bay actually passed away from. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, sleep apnea affects 1 in 5 adults in this country. I don't think a lot of people even know what it is, and the reality is 50% of those go undiagnosed and untreated. So we're out here trying to create awareness. We want people to be able to go to our website at wakeuptosleep.org. I partnered with a company in San Diego called ResMed after I got diagnosed a couple years ago. I was feeling a little bit more tired than I thought I should. I snored real bad. I was a big dude. I had all the classic signs. So once I got diagnosed, then I had to get compliant and start using my treatment, which is CPAP treatment, where you wear a mask and it delivers room pressurized room air. And that's kind of the best way to be able to treat it, or one of the most common ways anyway. So Wake Up to Sleep is a team of sleep coaches where we help people be able to get compliant, use their machines, be able to make that transition so they can get their lives back. I mean, that's the deal for me. I didn't have the effort and the energy that I needed to be able to play with my kids and do the things that I wanted to do on a daily basis, but now I can do that, so we want to help people do the same.
And that's awesome. That's what people feel. Really, a lot of athletes doing some great things out there in the community. We don't really highlight it enough, so definitely hats off to you and everything that you're doing. So we're here in the Super Bowl. Giants and Patriots, have to get your pick for this Sunday.
Man, I like the Giants in this one, and I like it because of what they do up front and the way that they're physical, but I think turnovers are going to be the big difference. When you look at the way the Giants really have come on as a team and protecting the football, they've been +5 in the playoffs. The inverse of that is true on New England side. They don't give up a whole lot of points defensively, but they haven't really been protecting the football like they need to on the offensive side of the ball. Both sides have injuries, but I think at the end of the day, teams that protect the football end up being better. And I think in a Super Bowl, it's going to come down to things like special teams. Look at the Baltimore Ravens and San Francisco 49ers are not in this game because of turnovers or lack of execution on the special teams. And because of those two areas, I think the Giants have the edge.
That was my man Aaron Teller, CBS Sports Analyst for college football, man. I mean, Aaron just had a great story to tell about sleep apnea, Smurf. Two things I want to take away from that story. First thing, he picked the Giants, again, like everyone else. And second thing, National Signing Day. How did Florida State still pull that class off with the year you guys had this year? Jesus, Smurf. Come on, man.
And you know I was going to talk to you about that. We pulled off once again the number 2 signing class. I mean, Jimbo Fisher, this guy is stockpiling talent. You can say what you want to say. I'm a diehard Florida State fan, and I honestly can't say it was time for Bobby Bowden to go. That's what we were losing at. Now we had 2 great years of recruiting, and as you know, when you turn around a college program, it normally takes 4 years. This guy, Jimbo Fisher, turned around and had 2 of the top 2 recruiting classes back-to-back years. I mean, this guy's recruiting talent, and not just only in the state of Florida.
I can't believe, Jim, I can't believe you stole all those guys. You guys still had the great signing day that you guys had today, because you guys had a terrible season. I mean, you guys started out number 5 in the preseason last year, ended up not even making it to a bowl game. What do you guys, Murph, I mean, really, come on, man, keep it real with me. What do you think you guys are going to be at preseason next year coming in?
Well, guys being ranked so high last year, I think that's going to hurt it this year. But this is going to be the year that Florida State turns it around. I really think it was a lot of pressure on them last year because we had a great recruiting class. But keep in mind, those guys were freshmen. This year, I think we'll come in a little bit under the radar. We'll still be top 10 material, maybe 9 or 10, but this time I think we're going to be ready to play, and we only have one out-of-conference game that's really going to be tough, and that's going to be against West Virginia. We know the type of team that West Virginia are. These guys scored 70 points on Clemson in the Orange Bowl. So we're going to see. The expectations won't be so high, but I think Florida State last year put all the eggs in the basket in that Oklahoma game, and we lost to Oklahoma. The season went downhill from there.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Life After the Game live from Radio Row. Keep the conversation going on Twitter, Life After T Game. Give us an email, Lamar at Life After the Game. Email us your questions or give us a call, 1-888-346-9144. Let's take some away from what Aaron said as well, too. Again, another gentleman, a former NFL player that is, again, taking the New York Giants to win the Super Bowl. We're 4-for-4 with all the former players picking the Giants.
Wow, that's incredible. I mean, I can't believe that no one has confidence in Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. But everyone knows, you know, most of these guys have played the game before. And what we see that the Giants have on that front four is remarkable. And, I mean, that's where it is. They know that the Giants' pass rush is going to give the Patriots some problems.
I mean, it's obvious that the Patriots' pass rush is going to give them some problems, but the Patriots are 3.5-point favorites. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Myra Kraft, and no one, Smurf, is giving the Patriots a chance on Sunday against the New York Giants. I find that incredible and hard to believe.
You're right, and that's one thing I was sitting here thinking. I mean, everybody that we have brought on the radio, everybody we have interviewed are picking the Giants. But in Vegas, they have them as a 3.5-point favorite, which is really confusing to me because everybody has the Giants favorite to win the game.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. I just really can't believe it. So give us a little rundown about your recruiting class down there at Florida State while we're down here at the Super Bowl. I'm sure some of them end up in the NFL and probably in the Super Bowl one day as well.
Well, once again, Lamar, we have brought in the number one rated player in high school football. And you're talking about the defensive end, 6'5". Deion Sanders went down there to the Under Armour game and asked this guy, "Where have you been eating?" I'm talking about he's 6'5", 310 pounds, defensive end, Lamar, from Texas by the name of Sue. We already labeled him as Super Mario Edwards. Once again, we have brought in, and then we brought in the number one defensive tackle from Washington, D.C., another guy, 6'5", 300 pounds, out of Friendship Collegiate in Washington, D.C. His name is Eddie Goldman. So one thing I noticed about Jimbo Fisher said, yes, we do play in the ACC, but remember where this guy came from. He was the offensive coordinator for Nick Saban when he was at LSU. Jimbo Fisher said, one thing we're going to do here at Florida State, we're not just going to recruit speed, which they're known for in Florida. We're going to recruit size and speed, and they're one of our two top recruits. And not to mention, Jameis Winston, the number one rated quarterback out of Alabama. Yes, you heard what I said. We stole him from Alabama. Nick Saban, it was tough for us. We got Jameis Winston out of Alabama, the number one rated quarterback. So as you can see, Jimbo Fisher has done another great job in recruiting and bringing in piles of talent.
Yeah, definitely a great job by Jimbo Fisher. We're actually going to bring my mentor and one of my colleagues at Voice America Sports, host of Sports Talk at the Positive Pub, my mentor, Gil Tyree. Gil, thanks for giving me a call today, my man. How's things going?
Lamar, I just want to applaud you for an outstanding show at the Epicenter of Pro Football. You're doing a great, great job. Great guest. I just want to say this. God bless Aaron Taylor for going on the air and talking about sleep apnea. I was diagnosed with sleep apnea about it in the late 80s. And he's absolutely right. It is the result of the death of Reggie White. And I applaud everybody. I just implore you to get a CPAP machine and have a sleep study. Okay, this is a disease that runs rampant in college football, high school football, and pro football. I have urged the NFL to test guys, especially at training camp. Okay, Reggie White was one who died, and there are many, many more. Truck drivers happen to have this. They fall asleep at the wheel. This is a silent killer, and I applaud ResMat and everybody out in San Diego and Aaron Taylor for doing what he did today and coming on your show, because we need to have people aware. It's an adult form of SIDS. You know, sudden infant death syndrome kills infants at birth. sleep apnea kills people at adult age. You can fall asleep and never wake up, and that's what happened to Reggie.
Yeah, a terrible tragedy what happened to Reggie Wright. And me and Aaron talked off air after the interview about what Reggie Wright meant to him while he was up there in Green Bay, and how he was a mentor to him as well, how much it meant to him. And he remembers when he finally got back on his feet after his bout with alcoholism, that this was something that he definitely wanted to attack, and he feels very strongly about it.
Well, he did it. He did a great job, and like I said, I want to just continue to encourage you. You are doing a great job, Lamar. You're carrying the banner for Voice America Sports. Life After the Game is a great show. We're going global from Indianapolis right now at the epicenter of pro football, and the interviews that you have brought us have been outstanding, and I really, really, really want to continue to encourage you on that.
Thank you so much, Gil. That really means a lot coming to you. Make sure you check out my man, Gil Tyree, also my colleague, Sports Talk on the Positive Pub at Voice America Sports, the leader in internet radio. We're getting ready to go to break. Make sure you stay tuned to Life After the Game. We're live from Radio Row. We're going to come back with some more questions and great interviews.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Sports have become a big part of everyone's lives today. We all have that team that we live and breathe to follow. We watch hours of football on TV, play Madden Sports on our gaming system, and our wives can't seem to tear us from the couch. If this sounds like you, or if you're a football wife who wants a few words, we want to hear from you. Listen for Life, Love, and Sports, featuring your host, Ron Dixon. Ron takes you inside the world of sports and finds out what you, the fan, are talking about today. Listen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Sports.
Tune in to a show about making a comeback and what really goes on behind the scenes with your favorite athletes and beyond. Listen for The Comeback Radio Show with Tony Farmer. A lot of people believe what they read on the internet, hear and see in the media, and on the news. We're going to give our guests a chance to tell the real story without the extra hype. It's not just sports, although that will be a focal point of the program. We'll also look at the world of celebrities, music, modeling, and more. Listen every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to lamar@lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Life After the Game. I'm live from Radio Row here at Super Bowl 46, beautiful downtown Indianapolis, Indiana. As Murray had a great conversation with Gil about sleep apnea and what happened with Reggie White when he tragically passed away from sleep apnea. But I had a chance to sit back with one of the former Green Bay Packer greats, Jerry Kramer, who actually played for the legendary Vince Lombardi in the
frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
Let's go in and see what Jerry had to say about concussions and injuries and playing for the legendary Vince Lombardi.
We're live with legendary Green Bay Packer Jerry Kramer sitting here at Super Bowl in Indianapolis. A wonderful, wonderful time here so far. Indianapolis has been beautiful. How's Indianapolis been treating you so far?
Very well. I'm always treated well at the Super Bowl. It seems like it was a sensational experience 45, 46 years ago, and it's a sensational experience today. I always have a great time.
Now, you were legendary with Lombardi and his teams up there in Green Bay. I was a Detroit Lion myself, so even I felt the nostalgia and the energy up there in Lambeau Field. Tell us a little bit what it was like playing at Lambeau Field, the field that you guys made famous.
Well, you know, it was a learning experience, probably more than anything else. It was before Coach Lombardi arrived, I think I was kind of happy to be there, doing okay, doing good enough, doing all right. I'm playing, I'm making the team. But I had no real quest for excellence. I just really was comfortable doing all right. And he turned my life around, and he started talking to me about preparation, total preparation, about commitment, about consistency, about discipline, perseverance, character, pride, a lot of qualities that I hadn't spent a lot of time thinking about. So he had a tremendous impact on me and on my personal style of play and how much I was given the game. We had a situation one day where he chewed me out rather loudly and then later came up and patted me on the head and messed up my hair and said, son, one of these days you're going to be the best guard in football. So he was a positive motivator as well as a very consistent motivator. But ultimately, I think he was very positive, and his principles were right. God, family, the Green Bay Packers. Can't argue with that. So he's doing the right thing and doing it the right way and trying to teach a bunch of bonehead kids what life's all about. And it was a chore, but he got it done.
And that's awesome. Now, you guys play the game at a tremendously high level. And the last couple of years, the NFL has tried to regulate the game itself to make sure that guys stayed healthy. I'm sure you guys played with a lot of injuries in your day with all the medical advancements that we have today. Tell us something about the injuries that you played through and what it was like playing football with a medical staff back when you played.
Well, you know, the concussions were something you just dealt with. I remember playing the Rams one day in Milwaukee, got a concussion, and Forrest, I can't remember the plays. What are we doing? What's the score? Who are we playing? And he says, we're playing the Rams. Get in here. Come on, get in the huddle. And I said, what do? Block the guy in front of you. Okay. And the next play, he'd say, pull left and go around that. Okay. And so he had to tell me the plays for the rest of the day. And that was just a normal thing to do as long as you could. Played with 103 fever, detached retinas, broken thumb, broken ribs, just a variety of things. That if you could stand it, and it wasn't really Coach Lombardi that you were trying to not let down, it was a team. Mm-hmm. You didn't want to let the team down. You didn't want to be the one that caused some problems for the team. So we played for one another more than anything else, and Coach Lombardi was a part of that, but it was really for one another.
I mean, that was just a legendary interview from a legendary guy, Jerry Kramer. You know, you don't meet too many guys that actually had a chance to play for the great coach, Vince Lombardi. So it was an honor sitting down with him for a few minutes this morning.
I mean, you're talking about Vince Lombardi. I mean, you're talking about the greatest coach of all time. I mean, it doesn't get any better.
That's what we're here
than
for, the Vince Lombardi Trophy. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, right?
I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. And once again, it turns back to the conversation that we've been had and especially that we've been doing with CNN. Once again, it's going back to concussions, how guys were playing with concussions. And just here today, another former great, all-time great, Dallas Cowboy great, Tony Dorsett, has said he's suing the NFL for playing with concussions. And a quote from Tony Dorsett, they just didn't care about us. Tony Dorsett is another guy who just came forward today, is going to sue the NFL for his concussions.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on down here, a lot of discussions going on, especially at the NFL alumni press conference. We're actually going to have some clips next week when we come back to Life After the Game next Monday, which we possibly just got an update, Smurf, and if I'm right, man, we may be having Richard Dent on next Monday.
Wow, and that's going to be another great Hall of Fame. I mean, we're just bringing in the HOFs. I mean, that's Hall of Fame, guys. I mean, we're looking forward to trying to have Mr. Dent on. He's a great guy from Atlanta. We're going to talk about life after the game. We're going to ask him some great questions about the 85 Super Bowl team, win Refrigerator Perry, playing with Walter Payton and Jim McMahon. So that should be a great show on Monday if we can get Mr. Richard Dent in.
Hall of Fame, get at me. Richard Dent, get at me. Don't get no better than that. Jerry Kramer, get at me.
Maybe we should change the name to show the Hall of Fame, because that's all we do is bring Hall of Fame guys up here.
Have mercy. Have mercy. Them boys keep those rings. Every ring is funny when you sit down with these Hall of Famers and these Super Bowl champions, especially here this weekend, the Super Bowl. You look at all the different rings. You look at all the guys that have Super Bowl rings and how different. I mean, you just get more and more diamonds. And I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful feeling and beautiful experience. I actually talked to some of these guys that actually made it to the NFL championship game and actually took home that Lombardi trophy. It's a great feeling to even be around those guys. Yeah, so we got about 3 minutes left, Smurf. Let's go ahead and get out some of our have mercy moments of the week. Give me a have mercy moment of the week. I think we lost my man Murph Mania back up there in Atlanta, but we're giving our have mercy moments of the week. My have mercy moment of the week And it's a great have mercy moment. Have mercy to the city of Indianapolis, who have been showing us a great time here at Super Bowl 46 downtown. I mean, the city of Indianapolis is just built for sporting events. You have the combine coming up here at the end of the month, the Final Four, the Big Ten Championship, and we had that opportunity to have the Mayor Ballard on with us earlier today. And that was just a tremendous interview. And Indiana is really holding it down. I'm really surprised and happy to experience what Indiana has to offer at the Super Bowl. And as I told the mayor, off air earlier today, that I'm guaranteeing you that the NFL will bring the Super Bowl back here within the last 7 weeks. We got about 2 minutes left. We're going to take an email question before we get out of here. Email question coming in from Sam. Sam asked me, have I had a chance to see Rich Eisen yet? Shout out to you, Sam, out there where you are. Yeah, I had a chance to see Rich Eisen. We're actually set up right here on NFL Network, right here on Radio Row. The guys just left. I'm sure they have a lot of events to go to tonight. I'm sure you'll see some guys walking around between 5 and 7 o'clock having a little fun, having some libations. No names, no places, but I'm sure you'll see those guys. So hopefully we'll have a chance one of them to spend some time. Got another email coming in from Sandy from Canada. Shout out to Canada. Oh, Canada. I feel like I'm Tony Kornheiser right now. And if I have, yeah, I actually set up right next to TSN broadcasting booth for Canadian television. I had a chance to hang out with those guys on Tuesday night at the media party, and we had a great time moving forward. So it's Lamar Campbell live on Radio Row. Make sure you tune in next week to Life After the Game, Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern. Remember to always have the perfect state of mind for success. We'll see you next week, Life After the Game.
Thanks again for joining Lamar Campbell for Life After the Game. Be sure to listen to our program every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel. May the coming week be one of greatness in your life.